You know how sometimes you just want to get a real handle on a big topic, like without slogging through mountains of material?
Definitely.
That's what we're doing today with ethics. Specifically, we're diving into the foundational ideas of Christian ethics, all thanks to the introductory insights of Dr. James S. Spiegel.
Right. You shared his first session, the introduction, from his teaching on Christian ethics. And it's a fantastic place to begin.
Yeah.
Dr. Spiegel has dedicated his career to these concepts. He's a professor of philosophy and religion. I mean, think 27 years at Taylor University and now at Indianapolis Theological Seminary.
Wow. Long time.
Yeah. And his expertise isn't limited to just ethics. He also delves into philosophy of religion, aesthetics, the history of philosophy, even the philosophy of mind. So you're getting a really well-rounded perspective here.
Exactly. Our goal here is to pull out the most important introductory concepts that Dr. Spiegel lays down. Consider this your express route, sort of, to understanding the groundwork of Christian ethics.
A shortcut.
A shortcut, exactly. Now, right off the bat, Dr. Spiegel cuts to the chase by defining ethics with a really fundamental question: how we should live.
And the way he frames that is crucial. He stresses that ethics is a prescriptive field, meaning it tells us how we should act. Oh. It's not just observing what people do. It's about figuring out what ought to be. That's a key difference from, say, descriptive fields like history or science, which focus on understanding what is the case.
Right, right.
Ethics steps into the realm of what's right, what's wrong, and the choices we ought to be making.
Okay, so if history tells us what happened and science explains how things work, ethics is like our guide, our map for navigating right and wrong actions.
That's a good way to put it.
And something that really stood out for me is Dr. Spiegel's point about how universally relevant this is. He argues that unlike, specialized fields like electrical engineering or even sports, ethics isn't some optional extra for a good life. It's essential to being human.
Precisely. His point is that simply by being human, we're called to be responsible. We have duties. We need to respect the rights of others. And we're expected to act justly.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't niche topics. They're woven into the very fabric of what it means to be human. So no matter what you do or who you are, ethical considerations are always, always in play.
And to help us navigate this, Dr. Spiegel highlights some really key theoretical concepts we need to get a handle on first. He mentions things like obligation, rights, justice, fairness, and virtue. These aren't just abstract terms floating out there, are they?
No, not at all. They seem like the fundamental building blocks for ethical thinking. Before we can even get into those pressing, and let's be honest, often very controversial practical issues that Dr. Spiegel will address later.
Well, abortion, euthanasia.
Exactly. War, drug legalization, sexual morality. We need a firm understanding of these core concepts. What does it truly mean to have an obligation? What exactly constitutes a right? What does justice really demand? These are the essential questions we need to explore first.
Okay. Now, Dr. Spiegel then shifts to looking at different ethical traditions, almost giving us a lay of the land in the world of ethics.
Yeah.
He starts with deontological ethics. Okay, let's unpack this. This is the approach focused on duty and rules, correct?
That's right.
He mentions Kant's categorical imperative and divine command theory as examples.
That's right. Deontology, at its heart, says the morality of an action is based on whether the action itself is right or wrong, based on a set of rules, not on the consequences of that action.
Okay, so the act itself.
Yes. So with Kant, he's known for his categorical imperative, the idea that we should act only according to principles that we could will to become universal laws.
Universal laws. Okay.
And divine command theory, as it applies in the Christian tradition, focuses on the commands given by God, like the Ten Commandments, as the ultimate moral authority. The emphasis here is on obedience to these divine rules.
Then there's teleological ethics, which sounds like it's all about the end result, the goal, the telos. Dr. Spiegel brings up utilitarianism and virtue ethics here. How do those fit into this picture?
Yes, teleological ethics judges the morality of an action based on its outcome or purpose.
Mm.
Utilitarianism, in its simplest form, argues that the best action is the one that maximizes overall happiness or well-being.
Greatest good for the greatest number. Sort of thing.
Basically, yeah. So the ends justify the means, well, to some extent. Virtue ethics, while also teleological, focuses more on the ultimate purpose or telos of human life, often understood as flourishing. It emphasizes developing virtuous character traits, things like courage, honesty, generosity, as the key to living a good life.
It's interesting to see such different fundamental assumptions in these approaches. For someone just starting to learn about this, are there like common criticisms or strengths that are often highlighted when comparing deontology and teleology?
That's a great question. One common critique of strict deontology is that it can sometimes lead to morally problematic outcomes if rigidly following a rule results in harm.
Oh.
For example, the classic, should you lie to save someone's life dilemma.
Right.
Teleological ethics, particularly utilitarianism, can be criticized for potentially sacrificing the rights of individuals if it leads to the greatest good for the greatest number.
That makes sense, yeah.
And virtue ethics is often praised for its focus on character development,
yeah,
but can sometimes be less clear on, like, how to resolve specific ethical dilemmas.
That makes sense. And then Dr. Spiegel mentions these mixed approaches, like social contract ethics and natural law ethics. It sounds like the lines aren't always so black and white.
Precisely. It's not always neat categories. Social contract theory, for example, tries to blend aspects of both by suggesting moral rules come from a hypothetical agreement among individuals for mutual benefit and social order.
Like a deal we all make.
Kind of, yeah. And natural law ethics, which is very important in Christian thought, suggests there are inherent moral principles we can discover through reason and observing the natural world, reflecting God's design. It proposes a kind of objective morality built into existence itself.
Okay, so we have this diverse landscape of ethical theories. With that in mind, Dr. Spiegel then turns to a really fundamental question for us today. Why should Christians study ethics? And his answer is pretty direct, isn't it?
It really is.
He says the Christian life is fundamentally about morality, about living rightly before God.
That's spot on. He argues that morality isn't just an optional part of the Christian life. It's absolutely central to it. Living rightly, seeking justice, showing mercy. These aren't extras. They are core expressions of our faith.
And he backs this up with some really powerful biblical passages. He mentions Proverbs 15:9 about how the way of the wicked is an abomination to God, but God loves the righteous. That really highlights how much God values right living.
Yeah. It does. It really does. And then Micah 6:8 is another key one. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Spiegel rightly points out that justice, mercy, and humility are presented here as fundamental moral virtues that God expects from us. These aren't just feelings. They are calls to action and ways of being in the world.
And he also references 1 Peter 3 about God's eyes being on the righteous and against those who do evil. It seems like this emphasis on right conduct is a consistent thread throughout Scripture.
Oh, definitely.
Dr. Spiegel even mentions there are literally hundreds of other passages that underscore this point. It really drives home that morality isn't some side issue for Christians.
Indeed. And this naturally leads to the next step Dr. Spiegel discusses, meta-ethics.
Meta-ethics, right.
He points out that when we read these passages about justice and righteousness, we inevitably have to ask, well, what is justice? What is righteousness? And that's where meta-ethics comes in. It's the analysis of moral concepts and terms themselves.
So it's not just about trying to do the right thing, but also understanding what the right thing even means in different situations. What does it really mean to act justly when we're talking about something like economic inequality or how we treat the environment? These are the complex areas where we need to dig deeper into the meaning of these moral concepts.
Exactly. And that brings us to Dr. Spiegel's methodological approach, how he believes Christian ethics should be approached. He emphasizes bringing together philosophical thinking and theological inquiry.
Okay.
He notes that this integration is pretty standard practice for, well, most Christian moral scholars he knows.
Okay, so it's not about choosing one over the other. It's about weaving together insights from both the Bible and philosophical reasoning. Why does he see this combination as so important, even like necessary?
Well, he makes a couple of really key arguments. First, he points out that we all bring underlying philosophical assumptions with us when we interpret Scripture and when we navigate life in general. We have pre-existing ideas about things like truth, reality, and human nature, and these inevitably shape how we understand things. So, in a way, we can't really avoid philosophy. It's better to engage with it thoughtfully.
That makes a lot of sense. We all have a way of looking at the world, even if we haven't consciously thought about it, and that perspective is going to influence how we understand everything, including moral questions. What's his other main reason for this integration?
His second point is very practical. We live in a society with a wide range of beliefs, right? A pluralistic society. Not everyone shares Christian convictions or accepts the Bible as the ultimate authority.
True.
So if we want to participate in broader discussions about ethics and have our views taken seriously by a wider audience, we need to be able to articulate and support those views using philosophical arguments that appeal to reason and shared human values, in addition to our theological reason.
He even mentions his experience coaching the Ethics Bowl team as a perfect example of this.
Yeah.
In those competitions, their arguments had to be grounded in philosophical principles, not just biblical references, to be effective in that diverse setting.
Right. He saw firsthand how crucial it was to be well-versed in philosophical ethics, to effectively engage in ethical debates in a pluralistic context. It's about being able to communicate your ethical convictions in a language that others can understand and engage with, even if they don't share your theological framework.
Mm-hmm.
He stresses that for Christians in today's world, understanding both the philosophical and theological reasons behind their views is essential.
So given this emphasis on bringing philosophy and theology together, what's the overall plan, the two-step approach that Dr. Spiegel intends to take in his teaching?
He lays out a two-part plan. First, he's going to explore and evaluate the major moral theories and philosophical concepts. He specifically mentions utilitarianism, Kantian ethics, social contract ethics, and virtue ethics.
Okay, get the philosophical groundwork.
Exactly. This will provide a strong foundation in the key philosophical ways of thinking about ethics.
And then the second part involves looking at the main theological approaches to ethics, right? He brings up divine command theory and natural law ethics again here.
Exactly. He will then delve into these significant theological perspectives on ethics, examining how Christian thinkers have approached moral questions through the lens of divine commands and the concept of a natural moral order.
Okay.
And then, crucially, after building this theoretical base, he plans to apply these concepts to specific moral issues, those important and often debated topics we touched on earlier.
And it sounds like he's not just going to present these theories as if one is definitively the right one. He mentions pointing out the strengths and weaknesses of each, both philosophical and theological.
That's right.
And he's even planning to offer his own eclectic model for Christian moral reasoning. That sounds really interesting.
It does. It suggests a balanced perspective, recognizing that different ethical theories and traditions may offer valuable insights, even if none provide a perfect answer on their own. This idea of an eclectic model hints at a more comprehensive and maybe integrated way of approaching Christian ethics.
And it sounds like even when they get to discussing those specific moral issues, the approach will still be balanced, looking at significant philosophical and theological arguments on all sides.
Yes.
And considering relevant biblical passages and theological arguments from different viewpoints. It won't be a one-sided discussion.
Precisely. The goal seems to be to provide a thorough and fair-minded examination of these complex issues, drawing on a wide range of philosophical and theological resources.
Well, this introductory deep dive into Dr. Spiegel's work has definitely laid some really important groundwork. We've looked at how ethics is defined, why those core theoretical concepts matter so much, the different ethical traditions that exist, and that fundamental connection between Christian life and morality that Dr. Spiegel emphasizes.
Absolutely. And it really sets the stage for a much more in-depth exploration of specific ethical challenges moving forward using this integrated approach.
So as you think about this introduction to Christian ethics, maybe consider this. Dr. Spiegel makes it clear that we all bring certain philosophical assumptions to the table when we're thinking about what's right and wrong, even those of us who prioritize our faith.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the foundational beliefs, whether philosophical or otherwise, that you think have the biggest impact on how you understand right and wrong? And how might gaining a better understanding of these different ethical traditions help you articulate your own ethical views in a way that can connect with a wider range of people in our diverse society?
It's definitely food for thought.